Resolving misalignments or gaps. When working to resolve misalignments between supply chain strategy and organizational and business strategies, or to resolve gaps in a strategy, the first step is to recognize when such issues exist. Another prerequisite is to study the past so that the highest impact improvements can be identified and prioritized. Since there are many areas of alignment, the discussion here focuses on alignment with complexity requirements, with supply chain partners, and with financial requirements. Organizations can use tools such as network modeling or operations research to determine how to structure a new network. Does the organization's culture reward or punish failure? When failure is punished and only success is celebrated, managers of all sorts will fear being critics. Unfortunately, critics are just the sort of persons who are needed to point out when a strategy has misalignments or gaps. These gaps will eventually become so obvious that everyone will recognize that they exist. However, by then the impact on organizational market share and other factors will likely be difficult or impossible to repair. An organization can start on the path to becoming a culture that rewards critics for speaking up by using tools such as anonymous surveys or brainstorming meetings where everyone is asked to give reasons why a given strategy might fail. Change management will also likely be needed. A third-party consultant or organization may also be in a good position to provide an objective analysis of the organization and its gaps. Such an organization or the organization itself can use tools such as a SWOT analysis to discover the organization's gaps. Of course, making the decision to act on difficult news takes courage as well, but this is a change that may need to start at the executive level. If supply chains are to be able to respond in advance of market changes, they will have to play by different rules than many have followed in the past. Here are some of the lessons supply chains have learned. Pursue cost efficiencies and increased velocity, but not at the exclusion of flexibility. The strategy of shipping only in full truckloads or full containers cuts transportation costs, but can also leave a partial load of product waiting at the dock when it should be on the road to a stocked-out facility downstream. Develop multiple supply chains that are appropriate to each product line. To achieve those full truckload shipments, some companies will mix products. While that's a good strategy for speeding up delivery of some products in the mix, it may be highly inefficient for others. The high dollar, lightweight items could be flung to their destination rather than staying in the truck, train, or container. One can customize suppliers to provide whatever each product line needs: speed to market, quality at a higher price, or ability to change rapidly. Watch trends and demand at the consumer end of the chain, not just at the next stop downstream. Visibility to the end of the supply chain can speed up response to changes in the market. Watch the larger trends in global markets, changes in demographics, political changes, patterns in rules and regulations, access to raw materials, and so on. Get local assistance for advice on supply chain strategies when you enter an unfamiliar foreign market. Design products for maximum supply chain flexibility. Put suppliers on the design team to offer help in creating modular designs, allowing fewer components to be assembled into more products. Time the assembly to happen as close to actual orders as possible. Aligning with complexity requirements. A way to address misalignments or gaps is to evaluate the complexity of the supply chain. A supply chain should be only as complex as it needs to be. Complex supply chains take more time and money to establish, monitor, and control, and they become more difficult to keep agile and responsive to changes in demand. Sources of supply chain complexity include maintaining multiple supply chains for different goods or services, maintaining an extensive asset footprint for production or distribution, the variety of products sold, the amount of configuration needed for products and at what stage, and the number of customization options available to customers. Limiting product and service offerings is a key way to minimize complexity while maintaining flexibility, since reducing asset footprints or reducing the number of different supply chains will severely impact flexibility and customer experience factors. The Performance Measurement Group, PMG, an internal PVC organization, consists of supply chain performance experts who collect data and perform benchmarking analysis of companies across the globe to assess supply chain performance. Their research indicates that best-in-class supply chains have a similar number of customers and production and distribution assets as their average peer group, but roughly 50% fewer distinct items for sale, fewer SKU stock-keeping unit groups. Maintaining only variety that is actually in demand increases flexibility because there will be lower risk of unsold inventory and stockouts. The question to ask, and related metrics to develop, relate to whether the additional options actually increase profits or just increase revenue while increasing expenses such as inventory holding costs even more, aligning with supply chain partners. When gaps or misalignments exist between supply chain partners, often this requires determining who the channel master is and how much influence the organization has. If it is the channel master, how sensitively has it used its clout in the past with partners? Are they treated as respected partners, or have they been pummeled for price concessions? The latter group may be resisting full alignment with the strategy. Non-dominant players may have more influence with some customers and suppliers than others. The key to segmenting customers and suppliers is understanding if you are in a buyer's or a seller's market. If there are multiple suppliers for a customer, each supplier will have relatively less clout, as is true in the automotive industry. If you make a key component that few suppliers can duplicate, you will have more influence with your customers, as is often true for innovative technologies. The idea is to use that influence to promote collaboration over control. Aligning with financial requirements using supply chain financial modeling. Financial modeling involves determining the financial feasibility and return on investment, ROI of a product/service strategy or supply chain strategy. Optimized network models supply cost estimates for financial modeling, since it is just the increase in costs and the increase in benefits that are important to a decision to create, change, or improve a product and/or supply chain. Financial experts use marginal analysis to study the marginal costs and benefits of the option being considered. Marginal costs include constructing, leasing, or contracting out all of the parts of the supply chain that need to be improved, reworked, or developed. They will compare these to the marginal benefits received from new or increased demand and the resulting increases in sales revenues or profit margin. For the benefit side of a benefit-cost analysis, market research provides information on projected demand for the products and services that will be produced, as well as target pricing. This information can then be used to estimate revenues for future periods. Financial modeling has more nuance than just taking the benefits and dividing them by the costs, though this is the basic formula for ROI. Since money that is borrowed requires interest payments and money that is earned can be invested to earn interest, financial analysts factor in the time value of money. Briefly stated, money to be received in the future is discounted to the value it would be worth if received today at current interest rates, called the present value. If you will get $100 a year from now and interest rates are 10% per year, and if someone gives you $90.91 now, the principal plus interest is calculated as $90.91 x 1.1 equals $100, so getting $90.91 now is the same thing to a financial analyst as getting $100 a year from now at that interest rate. This concept is used in a number of financial metrics, including net present value, NPV, and discounted payback period. With net present value, each year's future cash inflows are discounted back to their present values, and the present values of all cash outflows are also calculated. The difference between these amounts is a measure of profit in today's money. Any NPV equal to or greater than zero is a positive sign, but obviously the higher it is, the better. Discounted payback period determines how long it will take to recoup the initial investment or break even. It also discounts the future cash flows to the present value before applying them. A supply chain investment that will take 3 years to break even is far less risky than one that will take 6 years. This was a key reason that Target decided to close its operations in Canada in 2015. An analysis determined that the Canadian operations would not become profitable until 2021, and apparently this 6-year payback period was not acceptable. What constitutes an acceptable payback period may have to do with alternative investment opportunities and the product being offered. For example, if a product will be obsolete quickly, it will need a fast payback period, or the capital investments will need alternate uses, such as a follow-on model that can be produced with minimal further investment. There are a large number of other metrics that financial analysts can compile and help interpret. One of these is economic value added. The ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines economic value added, EVA, as follows. In managerial accounting, the net operating profit earned above the cost of capital for a profit center. EVA is useful because it specifically accounts for the capital investment cost before it calculates profit. The results of financial modeling will indicate what level of capital investment will be possible. This can help supply chain managers propose product, service, or supply chain designs that are likely to meet business requirements for profitability. Network modeling and operations research. Network modeling, also called network design and operations research, are tools that can be used to revise strategic plans and network designs for a supply chain. Supply chain network modeling involves developing the capabilities to find and enact the least cost solution for the entire network, efficient, or the ability to manage demand and respond to actual demand, responsive, through some combination of customer focus and/or agility. While network modeling is a large subject, we will restrict the discussion here to the subset of network modeling in which expert analysts create a mathematical model of the supply chain for supply chain managers. A good model will represent the supply chain in all of its necessary complexity, but be no more complex than it needs to be, avoiding being needlessly complex and thus error-prone. It is a representation of a supply chain, not a supply chain itself, and so is complex enough when it can reliably help decision-makers choose between available options. Mathematical models have inputs, processes, and outputs. A model's input parameters can be adjusted to account for where facilities might be located, the number of these facilities, their function, their costs, and related transportation costs, and so on. The model will have processes, mathematical relationships and formulas, that automatically translate the inputs into outputs. The outputs will indicate total network costs as well as any other key performance indicators related to strategy that the model developers include. These models are often developed in a spreadsheet such as Microsoft Excel, but more sophisticated modeling tools also exist. Modeling expertise is needed to develop, check, and validate such models. Model errors are easy to create, and there's a risk that the wrong decision will be made based on invalid outputs. The ASCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines operations research, OR, called operational research in the UK as 1. The development and application of quantitative techniques to the solution of problems. More specifically, theory and methodology in mathematics, statistics, and computing are adapted and applied to the identification, formulation, solution, validation, implementation, and control of decision-making problems. 2. An academic field of study concerned with the development and application of quantitative analysis to the solution of problems faced by management in public and private organizations. Operations research is typically concerned with finding the minimum, for example, minimum cost or risk, or the maximum, for example, maximum profit, yield, or performance. The mathematical models developed with network modeling use operations research to solve for optimal network design. Since the problems to solve in an international supply chain are very complex and have many trade-offs, finding an optimum level for parameters that cannot all be simultaneously maximized or minimized requires computer science. The benefit of harnessing this is that decision makers have some assurance that the choices they are making in regard to expensive capital investments are likely to be wise in the long run. Operations research uses a number of tools to find the best number and location of suppliers, manufacturing and assembly facilities, warehouses and distribution centers, and retail locations. The best solution depends on supply chain strategy. Some networks will minimize total supply chain cost, while others will provide best value in terms of the most flexible, the highest quality, or the fastest flow of products through the network. Current best practices promote finding a solution that maximizes flexibility while minimizing costs so that the supply chain can both be resilient to frequent changes in the environment and provide the maximum potential for organizational profit. Operations research relies on mathematical modeling, statistical analysis, simulation and optimization, economic methods, queuing theory, expert systems, decision analysis, and other tools. While it is beyond the scope of this text to describe these tools, let's look briefly at one common method, the Monte Carlo simulation. A Monte Carlo simulation randomizes each variable within its available range and runs thousands of simulations, and then it generates statistics to summarize the average results as well as other statistics such as the minimum and maximum. This frames the solution in terms of its possible range of results rather than just being a point estimate. A model that makes risks and opportunities obvious helps decision makers design both resilience and cost efficiency into the model.